The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast, Dr. Taz.
Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show. We are here today to power up. That's right. Help you find your prescription for your personal power. Joining me today is Dr. Berndorf. Dr. Berndorf, or Dr. Catherine, is a clinical associate professor of psychiatry and obstetrics and gynecology and the founding director of the Payne Whitney Women's Program at the New York Presbyterian Hospital at Weill Cornell Medical Center in Manhattan. Welcome to the show, Dr. Berndorf.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're thrilled to have you here. I think this is a really important topic that we're talking about today. We're talking about the myths of motherhood. And I know you've had the opportunity, probably like me, to sit with many women over the years. In fact, you've written a book called The Nine Rooms of Happiness that was published in 2010. And then another book to come, How Come No One Told Me, which is The Emotional Guide to Pregnancy and the First Year of Motherhood. And I know just from my practice, it's such a tough time for women. And I know personally, I don't think I've had any lower low than probably that period of time after my first child. So really important information today to help everybody out there who's thinking about being a mom or who is a mom or knows a mom with really helping them navigate this entire terrain. I'm really curious, how did you get involved with women or with mothers in particular? What sort of filled that void for you? What brought you into that focus?
Wow, great question. I started, I think, long ago. I was never a kid person, but I didn't babysit much. But I think in college, my experience was very much about the woman's experience, and that sort of flowed right into the idea of motherhood as I started my medical training and got interested in the topic. And then I sort of thought it out. I thought about being an OBGYN, but then decided I didn't want to stay up late at night, which you can probably understand, you know, all night long delivering babies. But I thought I can still help women at this particular time of life through psychiatry. So I really focused on the emotional side of, you know, everything related to pregnancy and postpartum, really like all the way from menses to menopause, as we say, as reproductive psychiatrist, which is what I call myself. Which is not that well known. So I'm glad that I'm so thrilled that you're having me on so I can talk about what that is and, you know, what we specialize in.
Well, tell us a little bit about it. I don't think it's well known. And I think, you know, we'll talk about the myths of motherhood in just a moment, but I think there's a lot of expectation from women that, you know, well, you're going to figure this out and every woman does it. So you're going to be just fine. And wow, like I'll tell my story in just a minute, but you know, I had a little bit of an ego going into motherhood, quite honestly. I was like, you know, I've been through medical school. I've been through residency. I've worked in the ER. I've stayed up late. I've flip-flop shifts. How hard can this be? You know, I walked into that first, you know, foray into motherhood with a little bit of that attitude, but at the same time with a lot of, you know, lack of family support. I have an amazing husband, but a lack of, you know, sort of, you know, the rest of the women in my life kind of disappeared for different reasons at that time. And so it turned out to be one of the hardest things I've ever done. So talk to us about your specialty and, you know, if nobody gets anything else out of today, you know, really, how can they find people like you when they're maybe struggling with some of the issues that mothers deal with?
Oh, so many things to say. Okay. Well,
jump right in.
I had my first kid during residency, right? And like you, I thought, you know, how hard, I didn't even know if I thought how hard could this be. I didn't even think about it. I just went head first into it. I think I gave a grand round the day I was due, right? So I give a lecture at 40 weeks pregnant. And didn't think twice about it, right? Had been very lucky to have a good pregnancy. And then got walloped, right? I mean, I had a reasonable delivery, but I didn't know what hit me, right? I had this kid, this baby that I didn't know what to do with. I knew how to, like you, I know how to swap shifts, stay up late, treat difficult patients, very competent in that sphere. But, you know, while I'm not, I don't think I had, a postpartum depression or anxiety. I certainly had a very difficult and unexpected adjustment. And you know what I did? I went back to work. I didn't know what else to do. I don't even think I took all my maternity leave because I really didn't. I was so incompetent at home or believed that I was that I thought, let me go back to work and do what I know how to do. And somebody more competent should take care of this. It was a real, wake up.
How long was your maternity leave? I'm curious. How long did you take off?
New York Hospital gave 6 weeks if it was vaginal delivery and 8 weeks if it was a C-section. And I ended up it. So, you know, I got 8 weeks because I ended up having a C-section because my labor didn't progress, which again, I was fine with. I was like, just get this kid out healthy and we'll all be happy. So that wasn't, I didn't mind. I wasn't wed to all kinds of things that I think we'll talk about with Miss of Motherhood because I was very flexible in that respect. But, at 7 weeks, I thought maybe I just go back to work now because this is wild. This is something I don't know how to handle, but I learned and I got much more comfortable. And I will say with my second kid who I had when I was a new attending, which was also not easy. I was working all crazy hours. But I was much more able to, you know, I have learned a lot with my first kid and I did get support and help from people around me who helped me adjust to being a new mom because I hadn't been a baby. I hadn't been someone who was like a gaga kid person, you know, and I wasn't a big babysitter. So I just thought it would be pretty easy. Like, what's the big deal? Well.
Wow. And so your specialty, tell us about your specialty and what you do for moms. I think that's important information.
Well, what I do is, I try to help people with the, and this is, you know, I'm speaking to myself, right? We all end up doing things, I think, that relate to our own personal journeys. I help people adjust to the realities of trying to get pregnant, and being postpartum, and how to be, how to think about being a new mom. And a lot of it has to do with sort of expectations and reality, you know, what you thought it was versus what it actually is, and how you manage that emotional dissonance between the two or the dichotomy between the two and who are you, you know, with the identity shift from being a single or married person, but certainly just an individual. And then you become a mother and it happens in a split second, but your entire change.
Wow.
One of the most fascinating shifts ever.
Yeah. It is. And, you know, women, as they shift, they often have different needs than what they may have had when they were single or when they were just married. You know, how can a woman identify that she's shifting or changing? What are some of the common warning signs that you see in practice? And then how do you help navigate somebody through that?
Well, I'll tell you, if you're even thinking about it before the kid arrives, you're in good shape, or at least you've got a leg up. Because I think, you know, the reason that, my co-author and I are titling our new book, How Come No One Told Me, you know, is because so many people, you know, I give a lot of, like you, do a lot of lecturing and speaking on this topic. And when I go speak to like new parents groups or new mothers groups, or not new mothers, pregnant, I should speak more to the pregnancy piece, right? Great expectations, like ready to parent, get ready to parent. I think they look at me with sort of glazed over, like, what are you talking about? Like, that's what's going to happen?
Right.
No way. Right? There's this, almost this, I don't know if it's a necessary disavowal or denial of what's going to be, but you really, it's hard to tell somebody what it is until it happens, right? It's like you can't know until you're there, on one hand.
Right.
On the other hand, I think we could all have a little more, we could all be a little more, I don't know what the word is, but we're hoping with this book, How Come No One Told Me, we'll you know what? People did tell you, or maybe people tried to tell you what was going on. And in our new book, we really want to tell you what to expect emotionally, right? Because that's what people don't, you know, there's a lot written about the physical part, but not about the emotional piece. So we really want to get that out there in the hopes that some of it can be integrated so that when it happens, even though it will be completely anew and you can't predict any of it. Thank you. But you can at least think to yourself, okay, I've heard this before. I heard it might be hard. Here are things I can do to prepare for it and help myself, you know, like that. So that there can be a little bit better preparation, even though the emotional piece of it is going to be what it is. And that is what I end up seeing in my office all the time. It's the people who come in and say, you know, here's what happened. I didn't expect this. And now I feel so anxious, or I'm so worried all the time, or I can't relax, or I'm, you know, depressed, or I'm sad, or I'm crying, or this is so not what I expected. It's certainly not what I wanted, and I'm at a loss, right? So we can't completely prevent that, but we can do a heck of a lot to try and help. by talking about, like what you're doing now, you know, interviewing me. I'm so grateful that you want to talk about this.
Oh, you're sweet.
I think talking about it makes it part of the common experience. This is not unusual. What happened to me, what happens to my patients, what happens to pretty much everyone I know, and you've certainly shared a bit about what happened to you, it happens to everybody. So why aren't we talking about it? Why is it that motherhood is this, you know, shiny, bright achievement that happens with ease and grace and is blissful, but really it's not?
Hang on, more with Dr. Taz coming up. Now, you know mindful eating is an essential part of self-care. We all know that every part of our life is enhanced when we eat nourishing, healthy meals. But eating right can be hard to maintain. You know it, and I know it, but that's where Sunbasket comes in to help, offering 18 weekly recipes, including paleo, gluten-free, vegetarian, vegan, pescatarian, and more, all delivered to your door. How easy is that? Oh, do you want to know what has been delivered to my door recently? How about salmon burgers with caper remoulade and roasted matchstick fries, and pork katsu with black pepper garlic mayo, wilted greens, and jasmine rice? Can you say yum? Now, Sunbasket takes care of all the details, so it's easier to take care of yourself. So here's the deal. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home, no matter how much experience you have in the kitchen. Everything is pre-measured and easy to prep. You can get a healthy and delicious meal on the table in about 30 minutes. Just go to sunbasket.com/wholehealth to learn more and get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/wholehealth for $35 off. Once again, sunbasket.com/wholehealth. And now back to Dr. Taz.
Totally nailed it, because what I see with so many women or women trying to get pregnant or aspiring to be pregnant, it's that checklist, right? Career check, yeah. You know, motherhood check, marriage check, you know, perfect neighborhood citizen check. It's this checklist that I think women subject themselves through, but there's very little preparation for many of those stages. You know, it's almost like in women's health in general, I feel like there's still very little preparation overall. And for this very, you know, totally life-changing experience that women go through, I feel like there's no preparation. Yes, we have the birthing classes. I mean, we have all of that. But like you're saying, the emotional piece, which is just, I don't even know if I have words for it, which is just such a stretching. It's like a soul stretching. You dig deep, you find parts of you you didn't know you have. Some of them are good, some of them are not so great. And you put yourself literally back together. And I think what I wish somebody would have told me, and I hope everybody out there is listening, is yes, first, the conversation begins always with anything with awareness. So be aware of the fact that things will change. You'll change. How you could be the most rational, most accomplished person, but you will change through this journey and through this process. But I think a second, which I wish I had done, was really prepare the people around you, your inner circle, for this change, you know, because I can just imagine my sweet husband, like, desperate to help me in any way, shape, or form, but just feeling totally unequipped and, you know, not knowing what to do with me or how to do it. And, you know, not knowing whether he needs to take time off. Does he need to bring his mom in? You know, like, he was totally at a loss, and I'm totally at a loss to tell him what to do. So it's just like, I think awareness is key. Build that inner circle, put those people around you that know what to look for as you navigate this journey. And then, you know, then somebody like you to help them navigate the emotional landscape. And what do you do with somebody who's just swimming all over the place between high highs and low lows? And, you know, is it always medication? What are some of their treatment options as they're looking at this journey?
Well, first and foremost, like you said, it's awareness. Like, you're ahead of the game if you recognize that something's going on, right? So if there's education out there and more awareness, like doing a show like this, you know, it's so helpful, because then you think, oh, I've heard this before, or, oh my gosh, this happened to someone I know, or, wow, that sounds familiar. I feel like you do, which is not good. You know, that somehow we're talking about it. So it's the awareness. It's being in the park. I always say, I don't think people mean to not tell the truth when you're in the park with your stroller or pushing that swing, but you know,
right.
Everyone looks good, right? You look around and everyone looks great and you think, it's just me. Well, it's not you. It's not just you. It's you're not alone, right? Everybody's feeling this, but nobody's talking about it. So awareness, talking about it, chatting about it anywhere and everywhere. I'm a big talker. So I think, you know, just if you can talk about it and people will listen, you know, you can find
yes.
help. So anyhow, okay, awareness. Awareness and education, big things. But by the time someone gets to me, and again, I'm a real sort of subspecialist, even within psychiatry. So I am
right.
often one of the last stops on the line. But you know, your primary care doctor and your OB and your pediatrician, I mean, we're doing a lot in terms of, again, creating awareness for the doctors that are kind of the first touch doctors, the people that you go to see, much more commonly than a psychiatrist. I mean, maybe you had a psychiatrist mm-hmm. and you go back and see that psychiatrist, but they may not even be someone who knows exactly what to do with you. So it's hard to get to someone like me, but we can talk about how one might find somebody like me in their area. But that said, mm-hmm. building awareness, even among our colleagues, right? All the docs that I know, but many of them say, well, I don't know how to treat that. I don't know what to do with a woman who's
right.
pregnant or postpartum. They're sort of untouchable, right? They're not. This is not rocket science. It's awareness. It's education. It's asking the questions. I'll often say to people when I'm teaching residents or teaching medical students, I'll say, you don't have to know anything. All you have to do is look a woman in the eyes and hold her gaze and say, how are you? Period. And you wait and you let them respond and usually they start crying because no one's looked at them and said, are you okay? How are you? And because they think, oh, hey, how are you? Or how's the baby? Or we all are so invested in this kind of social norm of wellness and happiness that no one's actually asking the single question that matters the most, right? It's not
so
that
true.
Hard.
Absolutely.
Now, right. The scary part is nobody knows what to do. So I'm sure you recall, you know, doctors don't like to not know what to do. So we don't often ask the questions mm-hmm. we don't have answers to, but there's help. I mean, if I get a question about something that I don't know the answer to, somehow I'm very confident in saying, hey, I don't know. Let me find you the answer. Let me help you get to the right person. Right. You don't have to have the answer. Okay. That's my soapbox question. Lecture on something. But by the time someone gets to me, right, my job or, a colleague would be to sort of say, is this normal adjustment? Is this something that, you know, we can handle in a supportive way with education with the family? Let's bring the family in, your partner in, let's talk about what's happening. Or is this more than that? You know, is this just the wide range of normal adjustment, right? Bliss is not the right mm-hmm. answer or the only answer. I've met a few people who are kind of blissed out during and after pregnancy, and I always look at them with just astonishment, like, God, what kind of genes do you have? Like, how'd you get that?
Mm-hmm.
But they're the exception, right? And illness is a piece of it, but it's also not the rule. I mean, there's just this huge and wide range of normal adjustment that is very rocky and bumpy. So the people who are in that wide range in the middle, they're not going to need medication for the most part. They may not even need formal psychotherapy, but they need support. They need education
right.
and validation and understanding that this is a tough road. And like, what would be helpful to you during this time? Finding, you know, compatriots, people in the park, other moms,
the
people who can
yeah.
say, yeah, it's hard for me too. What do you do? Right. That's the easiest fix that's easy. That's the simplest, right? It doesn't involve a lot of, you know, that could be at your local coffee shop or a local mom's
right.
or something. But when it's beyond that, like I would say when people are experiencing what we now, I think the newest lingo is instead of postpartum depression is PMADs, perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. And the reason I like that phrase is because it says both
okay.
mood and anxiety. Because when you say postpartum depression, people are like, I'm not depressed.
I'm not depressed.
I can't sleep. I check.
Right.
People don't identify
right.
with depression. They postpartum depression per se actually presents much more anxiety ridden. I'll often say, if the baby's safe and sound and sleeping, can you rest? And if a woman says no, you're already in a whole new a different category.
Wow. Like PMAD.
Right. PMAD.
That
so
resonates.
That brings
so
in this, right.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that resonates. Something. I think yeah. so. Totally. No, I was just thinking, like, you're so right, because there's still, all right, let's be honest with each other. There's still a little bit of a stigma to say you've got postpartum depression.
Gosh.
It feels like failure, right? It feels like when we
Absolutely.
Think about, you know, we're accomplished women, we can do this. A postpartum mm-hmm. depression feels mm-hmm. like failure. So, but PMAD, That's perinatal right. mood and anxiety disorders, you know,
Yeah.
we could all suffer from that at different points. I love that. So, and I interrupted you, so I'll let you continue. Like, what do you do once you identify that?
Well, you can, what the good news is if it can be identified, it can be treated. And I always say to my patients and anyone I meet, everyone gets better. If you can find it and identify it, you will get better and you will be okay. It really is so treatable, these disorders. And they come in all flavors and forms. And that's why it's not just one thing like, oh, postpartum depression. You know, it's like, that's one thing, but it's many versions. You can have postpartum OCD, postpartum, you know, panic disorders, postpartum PTSD, you know, like anything that happens at any time in life can happen in the postpartum. And it's not so different, but it does sometimes feel or present a little differently. And that's why you need an expert sometimes to say, hey, I know it looks like this, but it's really, you know, what I'm hearing, because I see this all the time, is that this really is something that needs treatment. Like, do not let yourself get blown off. If you go in and say, I don't feel right, this is not how I've normally felt, and a doctor or a professional says to you, but this is just how it is in the postpartum, it's really hard, or you'll get over
right.
it, or you'll be fine, or suck it up in the worst case, mm. right? It's like, mm. no, mm-hmm. if you know in your gut you're not right and something's not right, and I know you have to get over that idea of failure and like, wait a minute, isn't this the most natural thing in the world that I should be able to do? No, it's not.
Mm. It's not, you know, so for everyone out there listening, ladies, you know, I hope you're hearing what Dr. Berndorf is saying loud and clear, and spread the message to your sisters, your best friends, your colleagues, whoever it is. You know, the bottom line is awareness. You know, we're not all going to naturally be glowing when we're pregnant and come out of it all happy that we're mothers and have these perfect babies. That's a myth. I think be aware of the fact that you'll have mood shifts, energy shifts, emotional shifts, and build a community around you so that the people around you are aware, even sometimes when you may not be in a state to identify that in yourself. And then I think look for help. Look for somebody like a reproductive psychiatrist, like Dr. Berndorf, to really help you navigate that terrain and decide what you may need. Like she's saying, it's not always yep. medication. Sometimes it's something in between. Dr. Berndorf, are yep. there a lot of you out there? I'm saying this and then I'm like, are there very many of you out there to help women? So,
well, one of the reasons I started in my journey in medical school and in residency, there weren't very, very few in the 90s. So when I started, I started a program at Cornell in the early 2000s, because there wasn't training for this kind of thing. There was some. It existed in very few parts of the country, more in research institutes. But we started a clinical program. We started training people up. So there are many more of us out there now because of me and my colleagues who really are committed to educating in this field, right? So yes. Even though there are more of us, if we're still hard to find, and that is such a, I'm sorry about that. But one way to do it, we tend to be in big cities mm-hmm. and, but there are many of us all, you know, all over the country. I'm on the board of Postpartum Support International, which is one of the most amazing kind of grassroots organizations that's really growing, a nonprofit. And if you go to their website, postpartum.net, www.postpartum.net, you can find local resources. So people who really are trained, they may not be MDs, they may be, survivors themselves, people, other kinds of therapists in the field who will help you find local people. So even if you're in, mm-hmm. you know, Amarillo, Texas, or, you know, who knows where, you can find people close by, to try and help diagnose and treat this. And excitingly, we're starting a new national project. I'm heading up a committee to create a national consultation line. So let's say your doctor's somewhere and they have no idea what to do. We're going to have a number where you can call to say, doctor to doctor, provider to provider, help. I have a patient who actually seems to be suffering from some kind of perinatal mood and anxiety disorder. I don't know what to do. Can you give me, you know, can I curbside you on the phone so that I can help my patient locally? So we're starting up that service called, it's a national consultation service. So even if you can't find someone locally, we're going to try and help you get the help by phone, you know, to remote places if you're not, say, in New York City where I am, where there are many of me, by the way, and it's still hard to get an appointment. I don't, it's not easy, and I have tremendous empathy for those trying to get help. And one of the things I've done is my newest project is starting a place called the Motherhood Center, which is, there are many of us here, right? And we created a really neat program where we can help women with perinatal mood and anxiety disorders at the Motherhood Center who need outpatient help, who need just support groups and education. And then the other thing that we're doing that really doesn't exist anywhere else in the country is we've created a freestanding day program for women who are suffering more sort of moderately to severely, who really need support and group therapies and medication, and they can come for the day. And we have a nursery, and they bring the babies. And it's
this
new, exciting, really exciting project, and we're trying to get
That's
the word
amazing.
Out there.
And we would love to be proud.
Thank you. It's really,
That's
really
great.
Exciting.
Where
it's
is it?
Open almost. We're right in Manhattan, and you know, we got 8,000 square feet, and it's a beautiful space that feels like you're in a living room. And it's very not like the hospital. We decidedly did this outside of Cornell or any other location in Manhattan where lots of our providers are affiliated. But we did it in this way to create this very zen-like space where people feel safe and comfortable. But it's serious business here. Like, we're not joking around, right? You may have mild illness. You may have no illness and you just come for a support group. But we're also treating women who have more serious stuff going on, and we are supporting them through this period of time and helping them work with the babies so that they can get, you know, they can attach. Because guess what? If you have problems, if you're not able, if you're depressed or anxious or have anything going on postpartum, it's really hard to bond. And so we work with the moms and the babies together to help them sort of get to that place they want to be. And, you know, we're hoping if we can.
I think that's fabulous.
Get this going, then we'll be in other cities and we'll, you know, we'll try and get to you.
Absolutely.
But for now, we're just here and.
I'll have to come visit
on.
I'm in New York quite a bit, so I'll have to come visit and check it out. For all those moms out there, I hope you guys have an opportunity to maybe visit it if you're in New York City, or even check out more of what more of Dr. Berndorf is doing. Dr. Berndorf, I know you need to go. Tell me, what is the best way to connect with you if we do have somebody out there that's listening today and really wants that extra support and wants to be either prepped for pregnancy or wants to, you know, just sort of visit or check in?
Awesome. Thank you for asking. I think the easiest way is on the Motherhood website. So it's www.themotherhoodcenter.com. You have to put the in there. That's the secret, Motherhood Center. And we have an info. Like, I think on our website, we're, of course, always updating it and it's evolving, but we're trying to, you can ask a question. I think there's an info or, like, contact us. So you can call our front desk. We have wonderful women who are, talking to women who call in. We really try to, we don't want to turn anyone away in terms of helping them find what they need. It may not, if it's not here, we do our best to say, okay, let us help you figure out, like, where we can get you. What can we do to help you? Because, I mean, it's just hard to get help, and we want to be able to provide that even if we can't do it ourselves. So, yeah, that would be the way. And you can do it through the website, or there's a phone number, which is 212-335-0034. Either way, both of those are pretty easy to find through themotherhoodcenter.com. And I so appreciate your asking, and we'll try and help anyone who we can.
Wonderful. So if you're a new mom, a mom-to-be, or know a mom that's out there, please direct them to this website and to Dr. Berndorf's work. The Motherhood Center is now open in New York City for anyone who's there and would like to visit. The point of this entire episode, though, being motherhood is a journey. It's a challenge. It comes with high highs and many low lows. We have to be prepped. And the biggest challenge for us is not just physical, but it's also emotional. Remember, in the olden days, women were removed often from the home and surrounded in a village with their elders or other women to basically be pampered and taken care of for the first 6 weeks or so of their postpartum period. And so they had so much love and so much support, going all the way back to tribal civilizations. And now we are kind of in this pioneer land when it comes to motherhood, thinking we have to do everything on our own. And it's just an unrealistic expectation. Dr. Berndorf, thank you so much for joining me today. For everybody else, I hope you took a little bit away today to power up and find your personal power. Thank you for joining me, and we look forward to next time.